It is a wonderful thing to look at Scripture and to know that it is really a book that you can count on to help you through this thing we call life. The famous evangelist, Billy Graham, one time he was asked a very important question that really surprised him, and he said, what is life all about? And his answer was very honest. He says, it's brevity. Now, Psalm 90 is a brutally honest psalm in which Moses reflects on God's eternity and in the light of our morality. Psalm 90 begins, as I said, Book 4 of the Psalms. It is the only psalm written by the great lawgiver Moses, and the superscription reads, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, because it's a psalm prayer in three parts. Verses 1 through 6, we'll look at it, and it lays the necessary foundation for what is to follow. God is uncertainly and unceasingly faithful to his people, and Moses stands in awe at the fact of God's eternal existence. But this isn't just a comforting reminder to him. No, it's also a sobering reminder of humanity's brief life. So if God is forever, then we pass in the blink of an eye, don't we? This puts our contemporary boastings about, I'm living a long life in the perspective. We boast that we might live for 100 years, and there is some that manage to do it. But that's also just barely a watch in the night against God's eternity. In verses 7 through 12, Moses isn't satisfied to simply reflect on the shortness of our days. Now he confronts us with the equally unpleasant fact of what these days are like. He said they're full of sorrow and turmoil, verses 9 and 10. And then his words take us back to Genesis 3 and God's judgments on men and women. Why? Because of sin. God has said, cursed is the ground because of you. Though painful toils you will eat food from it all the days of your life. In verse 17. And then he says humanity's work would be hard and frustrating, and glorious childbirth would give and come in trouble of agony. Wow. Why is life like that? Why did women have to suffer so much during childbirth? And why do we... Oh, no. I'm just thinking. I don't know. I keep saying sometimes, I don't know, because I don't know. But why is life like this? I think Moses reminds us that it's because of sin and God's anger, verses 7 through 9. So I think we got to stop, says Moses. Stop. Sit down. It's what Scripture's even said in some of the other songs, be still and know that I'm God. Moses says, sit down and take a good look, a hard look at life. Pull out your calculator and do your accounts and learn wisdom from the brevity and the bleakness of life, verse 12. And since sin is the root cause of our trouble, then the solution is divine compassion. Moses' prayer doesn't end with despair in verses 13 through 17. No, he prays for his people to know God's unfailing love so that they can be glad all the days of their life. Moses never lived to see the answer to his prayer. He couldn't foresee a day when our brief life would turn into eternal life, or our sorrow transformed into joy. And while Moses longed for the day when he could sing for joy in verse 14, every Christmas Christians sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. So what could Moses only pray for? We see the experience in the cross of Christ, and there is our sin that is both open and secret, and our sins have been forgiven. And Moses was just talking about that in verse 8, and he wanted our sins to be washed away, and that happened on the cross. Jesus was consumed by God's anger in verse 7, so that the favor of the Lord might come and rest upon us, in verse 17. I don't know if you think much about life. I think about it all the time, and I think about the trouble and the sorrow and what was talked about in Psalm 90, verse 10. And also think about what the psalmist is giving us a little glimpse into the character of life in a fallen world before Christ. Now, they had hope. They also believed in eternal life, but they were also concerned about sins and the blood sacrifices and so forth. And I think Moses had a glimpse of what was to come, but he didn't quite fully understand that God would humble himself and come into this world like one of his creation. As a man coming through the birth canal of a woman, experiencing everything in this life that we experience. And he understood us as he cried out from the cross when they killed him, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do." And he felt that brief separation from God. And we wonder why. It's because when God looked upon his Son, God in the flesh, and he saw the sins of the world on his shoulder, the whole world, not just you and me, but the sins of the whole world he carried, and God couldn't be in the presence of sin. So that brief moment, Jesus felt that separation from the Father. But then when he gave up the ghost, the message was sent. The veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And what did that mean? It signified that we no longer need a priest. We no longer need anybody to pray for us, to have a relationship with God or do that. No, that veil being rent in two from top to bottom indicated that we now have direct access to the Holy of Holies, God Almighty. And that Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God the Father and being our perfect advocate. That is Ralphie thinking. I think of Jesus saying there, "Daddy, you know, I experienced everything like they experience, and I know exactly what they're going through. That's why I can say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The ones that, you know, it's just amazing. I'm rambling, but I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Well, what about you guys? Do you agree about much of life is nothing but trouble and sorrow? Because we all have trials and tribulations. Jesus said, "Fear not, I've overcome the world," but you're going to have all these things. And it's okay, because you're learning. And then at the end of the race, "I have a place for you." Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." One translation says many resting places. Some say many mansions. But it doesn't matter, because the point being that when this life is over, we're going to spend eternity with the God who created us and loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to straighten this out and allow us to have that access to the Father. And then to be able to return with him when he returns to set up his kingdom. Read the little book of Jude. It's only like about 26 verses, one chapter. And you'll get a better understanding just how much God loves you and how much of a future that you have. So, what are all these spiritual benefits in the numbering of our days? I don't know. I don't know how many days. I looked the other day again, Judy and I were talking about it, and we were looking at something in the refrigerator, and she said, "What's the expiration date?" And I looked, and this and that. Then I got to thinking, do we have an expiration date on our body somewhere? So I looked, and I can't find one, because we don't ever know when it's our turn. But in the meantime, we keep the love and the hope that we have in Christ, the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And we do the very, very best that we can do one day at a time. I don't know about you, but one day at a time more than I can handle. So I said, whenever I finally recommitted my life to the Lord on July the 21st, 1986, "This one day at a time stuff, Lord, I don't think I can do, but if you can help me do it 1 second at a time, I think I can do it." And that's what we've been doing ever since, 1 second at a time, doing the very next thing that's in front of us and doing the best we can do with it, and then hanging on to the promise of eternal life. Well, I hope and pray that you've been enjoying our little series. It don't seem possible. We're already up to Psalm 90, and we got 10 more Psalms to do and to look at, and then we'll start off on another little journey about the Word is the way to life, Jesus manifested in the flesh, showing us the way to have life and have it more abundantly. But in the meantime, keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling in Jesus' name, and know that I love you and so does God. And that's probably the most important thing we can do. We have a command to love one another. That's hard. But we don't have to like them, but we got to love them. Have a good Veterans Day.